one bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many,
good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We are delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Let's now join together in song with hymn number 148. The topic of today's healing message is, are you a change agent? Depolarize self to find the peace, wholeness within that moves you to act. Woven throughout the structure of these readings to create a single tapestry are the books, The Voice and The Message versions of the Bible, with correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, Miscellaneous and Miscellany from Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christianity. For an uninterrupted flow, the books of the Bible, Isaiah, 1 Corinthians, Philippians, Hebrews, and Revelation, and will not otherwise be announced. You are my God. You stand up for the poor and weak. You comfort and empower them in their distress. You shelter them from their oppressors' blows as a strong wall holds back the driving rain. You quiet the clamor of outsiders, ease them to stillness. You silence the arrogant song of the violent. I wouldn't want you to be ignorant of our history, brothers and sisters. Our ancestors were once safeguarded under a miraculous cloud in the wilderness and brought safely through the sea, enveloped in water by cloud and by sea. They were, you might say, ritually cleansed into Moses through baptism. Together, they were sustained supernaturally. They all ate the same spiritual food, manna, and they all drank the same spiritual water, flowing from a spiritual rock that was always with them. For the rock was the Anointed One, our liberating King. Despite all of this, they were punished in the wilderness because God was unhappy with most of them. Look at what happened to them as an example. It's right here in the scriptures so that you won't make the same mistakes and hunger after evil as they did. So here's my advice. Don't degrade yourselves by worshiping anything less than the living God, as some of them did. Face the facts, all you oppressors, and then wring your hands. Listen, all of you, far and near. Prepare for the worst and wring your hands. Plan and plot all you want. Nothing will come of it. All your talk is mere talk, empty words. Because when all is said and done, the last word is Emmanuel, God with us. The powers of this world will fight and will command their sentinels not to let the truth pass the guard until it subscribes to their systems. But science, heeding not the pointed bayonet, marches on. There is always some tumult, but there is a rallying to truth's standard. For oppression neither went down with blood, nor did the breath of freedom come from the cannon's mouth. Love is the liberator. The despotic tendencies inherent in mortal minds, and always germinating in new forms of tyranny, must be rooted out through the action of the divine mind. The rights of man were vindicated in a single section and on the lowest plane of human life when African slavery was abolished in our land. That was only prophetic of further steps towards the banishment of a worldwide slavery found on higher planes of existence and under more subtle and depraving forms. The voice of God in behalf of the African slave was still echoing in our land when the voice of the herald of this new crusade sounded the keynote of universal freedom, asking a fuller acknowledgement of the rights of man as a son of God, demanding that the fetters of sin, sickness, and death be stricken from the human mind and that its freedom be won, not through human warfare, not with bayonet and blood, but through Christ's divine science. God has built a higher platform of human rights, and he has built it on diviner claims. His claims are not made through creed or code, but in demonstration of on-earth peace, goodwill toward men. The life of Christ Jesus was not miraculous, but it was indigenous to his spirituality, the good soil wherein the seed of truth springs up and bears much fruit. Christ's Christianity is the chain of scientific being, reappearing in all ages, maintaining its obvious correspondence with the scriptures, and uniting all periods in the design of God. Neither emasculation, illusion, nor insubordination exists in divine science. A new day is dawning. A day when all may come to God, regardless of ethnicity, locale, or social class. Believers in Corinth are not part of a new movement. They are a fresh expression of the historic movement of God. The 21st century needs to hear this truth today as much as the church in Corinth did 2 millennia ago. The world has changed drastically since the times of Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and even Martin Luther. In the midst of radical economic and technological advances, some within the church are embracing new and contemporary practices and regarding them as somehow superior to ancient and historic practices. Paul is challenging this idea and calling all believers to see themselves as part of the local, global, and historic church. Any temptation you face will be nothing new. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can handle. He always provides a way of escape so that you will be able to endure and keep moving forward. So then, my beloved friends, run from idolatry in any form. As wise as I know you are, understand clearly what I am saying and determine the right course of action. When we give thanks and share the cup of blessing, are we not sharing in the blood of the Anointed One? When we give thanks and break bread, are we not sharing in his body? Because there is one bread, we, though many, are also one body, since we all share one bread. So what does this mean? I'm not suggesting that idol food itself has any special qualities, or that an idol itself possesses any special powers. But I am saying that the outsider's sacrifices are actually offered to demons, not to God. So if you feast upon this food, you are feasting with demons. I don't want you involved with demons. You can't hold the holy cup of the Lord in one hand and the cup of demons in the other. You can't share in the Lord's table while picking off the altar of demons. Do we have ridiculous delusions about matching or even surpassing his power? There is no power apart from God. Omnipotence has all power, and to acknowledge any other power is to dishonor God. The Holy One saith, Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river. Divine science reveals the eternal chain of existence as uninterrupted and wholly spiritual. Yet, this can be realized only as the false sense of being disappears. There's a slogan often quoted on matters like this, All things are permitted. Yes, but not all things are beneficial. All things are permitted, they say. Yes, but not all things build up and strengthen others in the body. We should stop looking out for our own interests and instead focus on the people living and breathing around us. Paul's instruction on this matter is clear. This is what Jesus did. This is what Paul does. Otherwise, community becomes impossible. But no state or church authority should force compliance. It must arise from a heart of love and a disposition that puts the needs of others first. So, imitate me. Watch my ways. Follow my example. Just as I, too, always seek to imitate the Anointed One. But it is important that you understand this about headship. The Anointed One is the head of every man, and God is the head of the Anointed. On this next matter, I wish I could applaud you, but I can't because your gatherings have become counterproductive, making things worse for the community than better. Let me start with this. I hear that your gatherings are polarizing the community, and to be honest, this doesn't surprise me. I've accepted the fact that factions are sometimes useful and even necessary so that those who are authentic and those who are counterfeit may be recognized. This distinction is obvious when you come together because it is not the Lord's Supper you are eating at all. What is going on? If a self-centered meal is what you want, can't you eat and drink at home? Do you have so little respect for God's people and this community that you shame the poor at the Lord's table? I don't even know what to say to you. Are you looking for my approval? You won't find it. The enslavement of man is not legitimate. It will cease when man enters into his heritage of freedom, his God-given dominion over the material senses. I passed on to you the tradition the Lord gave to me. God doesn't demand perfection to partake at the Lord's table, rather brokenness. Their pride is causing division during the meal. Instead, they need to fellowship in a shared, broken spirit. So if someone takes of this bread and drinks from the Lord's cup improperly, he is guilty of violating the body and blood of our Lord. Examine yourselves first. Then you can properly approach the table to eat the bread and drink from the cup. Because otherwise, if you eat and drink without properly discerning the significance of the Lord's body, then you eat and drink a mouthful of judgment upon yourself. Because of this violation, many in your community are now sick and weak. Some have even died. But if we took care to judge ourselves, then we wouldn't have to worry about being judged by another. In fact, the Lord's hand of judgment is correcting us so that we don't suffer the same fate as the rest of the rebellious world. That is why we ought to pay even closer attention to the voice that has been speaking so that we will never drift away from it. For if the words of instruction and inspiration brought by heaven's messengers were valid, and if we live in a universe where sin and disobedience receive their just rewards, then how will we escape destruction if we ignore this great salvation? We heard it first from our Lord Jesus, then from those who passed on his teaching. There are many different ways to serve, but they are all directed by the same Lord. There are many amazing working gifts, but it is the same God who energizes them all in all. Don't be anxious about things. Instead, pray. pray about everything and know that the peace of God, a peace that is beyond any and all of our human understanding, will stand watch over your hearts and minds in Jesus, the Anointed One. Finally, brothers and sisters, fill your minds with beauty and truth. Meditate on whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, whatever is virtuous and praiseworthy. Blessings come to those who listen closely and put the prophetic words recorded here into practice. May you experience God's favor and rest in the peace that comes from the one who is, the one who was, and the one who is coming. The still small voice of scientific thought reaches over continent and ocean to the globe's remotest bound. The inaudible voice of truth is, to the human mind, as when a lion roareth. It is heard in the desert and in dark places of fear. It arouses the seven thunders of evil and stirs their latent forces to utter the full diapason of secret tones. This is the power of truth demonstrated, made manifest in the destruction of error. Then will a voice from harmony cry, go and take the little book, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Mortals, obey this heavenly evangel. Take divine science. Study it. Ponder it. It will be indeed sweet at its first taste when it heals you. But murmur not over truth if you find its digestion bitter. When you approach nearer and nearer to the divine principle, when you eat the divine body of this principle, thus partaking of the nature or primal elements of truth and love, do not be surprised nor discontented because you must share the hemlock cup and eat the bitter herbs for the Israelites of old at the Paschal meal. Thus prefigure this perilous passage out of bondage into the El Dorado of faith and hope. Love fulfills the law of Christian science, and nothing short of this divine principle understood and demonstrated can ever furnish the vision of the apocalypse, open the seven seals of air with truth, and uncover the myriad illusions of sin, sickness, and death. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. This testimony of Holy Writ sustains the fact in science that the heavens and earth, to one human consciousness, that consciousness which God bestows, are spiritual, while to another, the unillumined human mind, the vision is material. This shows unmistakably that what the human mind terms matter and spirit indicates states and stages of consciousness. Accompanying this scientific consciousness was another revelation, even the declaration from heaven, supreme harmony, that God, the divine principle of harmony, is ever with man, and they are his people. Thus man was no longer regarded as a miserable sinner, but as the blessed child of God. Beloved children, the world has need of you, and more as children than as men and women. It needs your innocence, unselfishness, faithful affection, uncontaminated lives. You need also to watch and pray that you preserve these virtues unstained and lose them not through contact with the world. What grander ambition is there than to maintain in yourself what Jesus loved, and to know that your example, more than words, makes moral for mankind.
Thine is the kingdom and the power.
and the